is up, Hoophead Nation, and it looks like Twan's falling asleep on us right now. I think his screen just froze.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, man, but your screen just froze.
What's going on here?
There you go, bro. Well, you're still kind of like frozen. But anyway, you're locked out, man. Something. Anyway, welcome to episode 57 of the Buzzer Beaters. I'm Eddie Aparicio, and this is Sleepyhead Anthony Twan Corral. And we are brought to you by GrumblingsMedia.com. You can find us at GrumblingsMedia.com as well as any other popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, Apple, X, Facebook, you name it. Just type us GrumblingMedia.com and you'll go ahead and find us. You'll see that the branding has changed a little bit here. Now we got this buzzer beaters prominently, you know, kind of hiding some of us sometimes. So we're going to kind of change the layout a little bit today just because of that. But I don't mind it. It's great branding. But anyway, if this is your first time here, hey, you know, we've been here for 57 episodes. This is our 57th episode. And if you're here listening, we really appreciate you following us and listening to us. We've actually had some good viewership over the past, you know, 5 weeks. We've been doing this over a year now. And I think people are starting to like kind of our style. You know, it's kind of like a radio talk show kind of style. Me and Twan have been, you know, great friends. We've known each other since 1985. I think it's when I first met Twan. So, but anyway, what we are going to go ahead and do is we're going to talk about an hour to an hour and a half of content. And that's what we typically do each week. And the intent is not to go over that, but you know, for the draft, we definitely went over that. But for these shows right here, we're going to go overhead and we're going to go over some three topics, essentially, what we're going to talk about. So the first one that we're going to go ahead and talk about is, you know, the NBA has had a frenzy of, like, activity, especially over the last, you know, 2 weeks since the draft. It's been crazy. I mean, there's been so many moves that has been going on. So that's the first thing that we're going to talk about. And then the second thing that we're going to talk about is, you know, right now the NBA is kind of winding down. It's kind of going through its summer league right now. We have, the California Classic going on right now. Then we also have the Salt Lake City Summer League, which is going on right now as well. And then, you know, this week is when the Las Vegas Summer League happens. But we're going to go ahead and just talk a little bit about some of our observations so far. I mean, there's only been like six teams that have been playing so far, maybe eight, but I don't, anyway, I haven't been able to watch all the games. I don't know, Twan, if you can hear me, I don't know if you heard or watched any of the games, but I watched a few. But we're going to go ahead and cover that a little bit. And then we're also going to talk about the fantasy league that we just did, which is the rookie fantasy league, which is the same thing that we did last year, but we're going to go ahead and do it this year. We did our draft and we're going to go ahead and show you some of the results thus far in the first three games of Summer League. So that'll be the second topic. And then the last topic is going to be something that Twan and I are going to cover essentially four of the six divisions this week. Maybe only maybe two of the four this week, depending on how long the content goes with the first two topics. But we're going to go ahead and talk about the analytics of each team, which we've already done that all throughout. And then we're also going to go ahead and include the analytics of all of the players. And Twan is back from his nap, bro. Hey. What's up, bro? Man, hey, right on, man.
Happened, dude. Technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties.
Wasn't agreeing with me.
No worries, man. No worries. It's all working out. But I was just kind of introducing the topics that we're talking. I don't know if you heard all of that. But anyway, the third and final topic is we're going to go ahead and go over the analytics portion of four of the six divisions this week. Maybe go over two, depending on time. But we're going to go ahead and cover some of the player analytics as well that correlate with the team analytics. So you can kind of see some of the strengths and the weaknesses of the team, and you can see why certain teams have, like, you know, great, you know, team averages as far as analytics. So we're going to cover that, and that'll be it. So those are the three topics that we're covering this week. So Twan, before we get into it, bro. Are you out now, bro?
Did you come back?
Oh, you're back. All right, man. So I think you're changing the screen.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure everything's working before we move forward.
So anyway, the buzzer beaters, hey, we love it. It's prominently showed, but we're going to have to work with this. So we're going to probably have to show, you know, the content a little bit bigger than we normally have recently. And then we're going to kind of put us smaller now. So, you know, we're still here, just going to see the smaller, right? Yeah. But anyway, Tom, before we get into it, man, what's been up with you, man? I know we played golf last week, man.
We did.
That was a blast, dude. So, dude, I got to tell you, man, for you who only plays like two times a year.
If that.
You got game, bro. Seriously, I was impressed. I swear, dude, I was impressed because you were striking the ball well. You were putting really well. You're a better chipper than me, and I've been, you know, playing for years. See, and that's the worst part of my game is chipping. I can't do it to save my life. But, dude, I got the bug, man. I got the bug big time because I just played again yesterday. I took the afternoon off, and I played again yesterday in Livermore, the newly renovated Poppy Ridge. I don't know if you ever played there before, but, it's nice, dude. They have, like, a 615-yard hole, dude. It's, like, it's a long hole. I think it's like the very first or second hole is like that long, and it's completely different than what I remember. And dude, I didn't warm up. I it took me a while to get going, but I ended up shooting an 86, which isn't bad, right? And I played with Fred. So since golf, dude, what's been going on with you, man? What's been going on?
Nothing, man. Just I think I mentioned it. The wife and my oldest are away for the last couple of weeks.
Man, they've been gone for a while, bro.
Gone for a while. She's due back Monday or Tuesday of next week, so that'll be good. I'll get a break from all the home chores. We can split them again, but that'll be good. And then gonna be taking a vacation a couple of weeks after that. So
where are you guys going?
Going to Cabo.
Dude, right on.
Yeah, so that should be fun. My first.
Is that like an annual trip for you guys?
No, well, we usually, we've gone to Hawaii quite a bit, and I for years have been, been begging, let's go to Mexico. It's cheaper. It's just as nice, you know. And I've gotten the no kind of. And this year, everyone agreed. And I haven't been to Mexico since Mazatlan when I was like 18 years old, dude. And that's like, we know that's like 30 something years ago. I haven't been there. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to doing absolutely nothing, which is what I hear that what you do in Cabo. So,
yep, that's what you do, man. You do nothing, dude. You just kind of lay on the beach, drink some cocktails, have as much tacos as you can, right?
Yeah,
it's a blast. Well,
I heard they have really good sushi and seafood in Cabo. So, I'm a seafood fanatic, so. Sashimi or whatever, dude, sign me up. I'm there.
The only
problem with seafood, you eat it, and then half an hour later, you're hungry again.
Yeah, it's the easiest. Out of all the proteins, it's the easiest to digest. You definitely want to fuel up on that. Hey, Twan, maybe what you could try and do is maybe lower yourself a little bit. Maybe we can show your head not getting covered up by the buzzer beaters if you can. I don't know if you can or can't, but, I don't know. Zoom out, zoom in.
See what I can do, Big Ed.
Yeah, see if you can. If you can't, no worries, man. You just have the T and the E above you on your head.
This equation, you're the buzzer and I'm the beater? Is that how
pretty
that
much, goes? Yeah, you're the beaters.
I don't know if I like that, but all right.
Dude, yeah. So real quick, speaking of Mexico, I'm actually going to Mexico too, bro. I don't know if I told you this, but
no.
I'm going to Mexico. For the first time the last time I went to Mexico was at Cabo, bro. I went to Cabo for one of my friends, Sergio, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I went to his wedding when he first got married. He's on a second marriage, unfortunately. The first one didn't work out. But the very first time I went there.
You better stop sharing his business. He's going to smack you.
He has no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, some people might know. But anyway, that was the last time I was there. That was like 2005 or something. No, 2004, 2000, right around there. It was like a long time ago. I haven't been to Mexico since, man. But I'm actually going to go to Mexico again in August before Amanda goes to school. And we're going to my wife's parents' hometown, which is in Jalisco, Mexico.
Okay.
That's better, bro. Yeah, you're the T and the E are no longer on your forehead, bro. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to go to this small town where they grew up. Dude, check this out. This small town has a cartel person overlooking it, bro.
Okay.
And what's a trip is that, it's a small town, so everybody knows everybody's business, right?
Yep.
And I always knew about this, like the small town that everybody knows about everybody's business. It's kind of the small town culture, right?
Yep.
But now I heard that this freaking cartel guy's there. There's probably a reason why everybody needs to know who's who, right? Because they probably have to report to this guy. Yes. So, dude, I'm a little nervous, dude, over there, right? Because I'm not Mexican, bro, right? I don't know. I mean, dude. If they kind of find out that I'm from El Salvador or my parents are from El Salvador, too, I don't know if there's any problems with El Salvadorian freaking that cartel. I have no idea, dude. So I'm telling my wife, I go, we got to talk to the mayor or something, man. We got a, you know, a kid, whenever Cousins is like always, like he's a very prominent figure there, and I call him the mayor. I go, I got to set up a meeting with the mayor, bro, because I got to make sure that this cartel thing is cool, man.
Parents, bro.
We, you know, I'm nervous, man. Salvador, you know, so, you know, I have no ties to anything in El Salvador, but I don't know all my family in El Salvador, so who knows, right? I have no idea. So, you know how it is, bro.
My advice to you is don't speak any Spanish, then just speak English and pretend you don't.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know what you're saying, and yeah, you're right on.
No, speak español.
That's not a bad call, bro. Not a bad call. And dude, speaking of Central America, bro. So me and my wife, you know, my wife loves watching all those Bachelor, Bachelorette kind of shows, right? And there's now a Paradise, Bachelor in Paradise, I think it's called. And dude, it's being filmed in Costa Rica.
It is.
It's all in Costa Rica, man. Your hometown, bro. Your mom's hometown, man. So it's, you know, and there's big ass bugs flying all over the place, dude.
Dude, I'll tell you a story really quick. As quick as I can. So I have a lot of family there. So we went down there, I don't know, about five or six, maybe a little longer than that, maybe close to 10 years ago now. And he has a cabin up in the woods or the mountains.
Yeah.
So we go, dude, and it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. And we go in his cabin, dude, but his cabin is, you know, like we got to clean it up when we get there.
Yeah.
Dude, there's like bugs everywhere, right? And my daughters are like freaked out, but you know, we're trying to sweep them all out and get everything we can, right? So then when it comes time to go to sleep, and so we go to the bedrooms, and my wife and my youngest daughter go to one bedroom, and because they won't separate from us because of all the bugs.
Right.
So my daughter's like freaking out, you know, and she's like, Dad, are there bugs? And I'm like, no, I think we're cool. I think we're cool. Right. We're kind of looking around the bedroom. Yeah. No, I think we're good. Right. So then we go to lay down. Right. And I lay down, and it's dark, and the light is up in the middle. Right. The light fixture.
Right.
Dude, I look up, dude, and it looks like a Star Wars movie, dude. There's just bugs circling the light.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh no. And she's like, oh my God, Dad, what do we do? I go, I guess we're sleeping with the light on, because as long as the light's on, they're not going to come down here. And she, the whole night, dude, she's like trying to sleep with one eye open, dude. There's like a billion bugs just flying around the light, dude. It's just like, mm-mm.
Dude, and you know, and some of the bugs, and dude, there's like iguanas all over the place, you know, that they're at this beach resort that, you know, I don't know, I forgot the name of it. Azura or something like that. Anyway, but so dude, and I kid you not, dude, some of these freaking insects look prehistoric, dude. They're freaking huge, man. And it's like, and they're all freaking, I get it, man. I, you know, I don't like bugs either, man, you know, so I get it, man. But anyway, I wanted to bring that up since you brought up Cabo, and then you're going to Cabo again, you know, for your vacation. I'm going to go to Mexico for the first time since like 2004 or whatever time frame that was.
Yeah.
And then, you know, since we're talking about, you know, our roots essentially, right? Or close to our roots, I wanted to bring up Costa Rica, which is your roots, right? Where your mom's mom's from, and your dad's from Peru. So, by the way, have you ever been to Peru?
Yeah, I've been to, I was there, 8 years ago.
Okay.
No. It's 20 years ago.
Oh, dude, isn't that a trip about how much time flies?
And you think,
like, years ago, it's more than 20. It's like 20 years.
Yeah, Peru. Crazy. Dude, the food in Peru is off the hook.
No, dude, Peruvian food is, like, one of my favorites.
Yeah, so, you know. That's just off the hook.
Oh, no, I know it is, dude. I know it is. That's one of the places I like to go to when we have lunch, dude, is you know, any Peruvian joint around where we can meet, right? So,
funny, you know, in Peru, it's just such a – it's such a, like, an eye shock because there's a large Asian presence in Peru. There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go up to them and you expect, you know, like here, you expect to either talk English with an accent or English how you usually do, or Cantonese or Mandarin, you know, whatever they speak. Dude, you go there, dude, they sound like my dad. Oye, compadre, ¿qué pasó? And they're like, you're like, bro, I can't. This doesn't compute. My head's I can't. Yeah. Watch you talk like that. It's freaking hilarious.
Well, hey, dude, one of my favorite Peruvian dishes is actually the fried rice. Chaufa de pollo, man. Oh,
chaufa,
yeah. So chaufa, that's one of the ones. It's fried rice, right?
Got a whole district down there in Lima where it's just kind of the Asian presence, and there's like chaufa and all kinds of stuff. It's really good.
That's cool, man. Right on, man. Yeah. Well, hey, man, we don't want to bore the audience with our personal stuff, but it's good for them to get to know us a little bit too, right? So we know we want to kind of bring the personal element, you know, because it helps you kind of understand who we are as people, right? But one of the things I forgot to mention is that we're here live, okay? Yeah. And we're live here every Wednesday, except next Wednesday, okay? Next Wednesday, unfortunately, I have another work conflict that got in the way. So next week we're going to record, okay? And we pretty much probably only have maybe two more episodes after that. And then we're going to go ahead and take a quick little break. Probably do some shorts here and there because, you know, the NBA season will pretty much come to an end after the summer league, right? And then we'll kind of do some shorts, maybe about some transactions that could be happening because, you know, free agency is not over. We're going to talk a lot about that next on our next segment, but I want to bring up right here live, and we're here live for a reason, is because we want to hear from you. We want to hear your comments, your questions. For those of you who have been listening to us for a long time, we really appreciate you listening to us. And if you really like our show, please give us a thumbs up and, you know, tell your friends about us and just come back, right? And just pass it along. Pass on our podcast through your phones, through your, you know, emails, whatever. We really appreciate the audience, and we really appreciate the participation for those of you who have been here, you know, and participated. So without further delay or ado, let's go ahead and get started, brother. So the first thing I want to talk about is the trades, right? There's been a lot of activity. Dude, actually, as a matter of fact, there's been 12 teams that have done transactions since last week, since we last met, okay? And there's been 6 in the East and 6 in the West, right? Yep. Now, the ones that I want to go ahead, you know, and highlight first in the East, first of all, the ones that these are all the biggest one that kind of happened was a 3-way trade between the Heat, the Clippers, and the Jazz, okay? Yep. Now, what happened is that the Heat went ahead and they sent Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson to the Jazz, and then the Heat got Norman Powell from the Clippers. Then the Jazz, you know, of course, got Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson, but they also got a 2027 second-round pick from the Clippers. So there's a lot of stuff going on there, right? Yeah. But, you know, the Miami Heat have been somewhat active, you know, during this offseason right now. They've done 3 transactions. They did a 2 other ones, you know, shortly after the draft. So they've been pretty active. But I wanted to get your take, man. Norman Powell going to the Heat, man, that's such an interesting move. You know?
They got John Collins, right? It was that was set.
Did I say John Collins?
I don't know. Did you?
No, I don't think so. But I think that he might have been involved, and I probably just didn't write that down. Is that what you have on your notes?
I thought it was John Collins.
Miami. Yeah, it is. Sorry about that. You're right. It is John Collins. Yes, it is John Collins. And I said Norman Powell. Yes, correct. The Clippers sent Norman Powell to Miami in return for John Collins. So John Collins goes to the Clippers.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. That's what I forgot.
My thought is, I'm a little surprised that the Clippers would trade Powell, especially after the season Powell's had. Powell had a pretty good season.
Yeah.
I thought he was a key element to their success last year. Obviously, John Collins is a bigger player, more rebounds, more. So maybe they're trying to focus on size. But, you know, that was really the only thing that caught my eye in that trade was those two. Kyle Anderson obviously was part of the Jimmy Butler trade. So him moving around, I don't know what that means ultimately, but you know, which funny thing is I like Kyle Anderson. I think he would have an important role on a successful team. You know, yeah. I think he can do a lot of things well. He doesn't like stand out in a certain area other than that slow mo move that he has.
He's really adept at it, man. He's really good at it.
Yeah.
He's like Chris Mullin light with those moves, dude.
Which fascinates me, which just really quick, I want to, you know, just sidebar for a minute. You know, I was watching Alex Tuohy, right, play on his first game Miami for the Warriors against the California Class. I didn't catch too many games, but I watched that. And the one thing that stood out to me is how his feet look like they're cemented to the ground.
Oh, is he really planted?
He's really slow, but slow of foot, you know, like his feet are like, there's like roots on his feet, you know, like it's like, dude, pick up your feet, you know? And so that thing really stood out. And what's interesting to me is that's the one thing you can't be slow at. Your feet have to move.
Oh, no, for sure. To be a defensive presence in the NBA, you have to have good feet work, man.
Yeah.
You have to have good athleticism and good footwork or good feet work. It should be called feet work, man, not footwork. Anyway, that's another.
Yeah, so you know, it was his first game, you know, so I'm going to give him some, you know, obviously he's still getting acclimated to the speed of the NBA and all that. But I'm just bringing that up because, you know, Kyle Anderson also plays slow, but he's never behind. And he's never, you know, the slowness that he plays, he takes advantage of and he's able to use it to its full extent. So that's all I wanted to compare. But overall, the only thing that stood out to me was I'm not sure that I would have given up Norman Powell for John Collins. Is basically, in essence, I'm not sure I would have done that.
Yeah, I mean, Norman Powell, you know, got inserted into the starting lineup, you know, out of necessity because they needed some scoring punch. He was the guy that came off the bench primarily for years, and then they brought him in. And, you know, he is kind of a high-priced guy. You know, he's been in the league for a long time out of UCLA. And he's actually, you know, he's a good player, you know. But John Collins has had a really up-and-down career. He actually started out pretty good in Atlanta, kind of went through a funk, kind of revitalized it a little bit in Utah, you know, but it's a bad team, right? Yep. And, you know, I think that their thinking is, okay, John Collins has been kind of on bad teams, and it's kind of been probably the second best player for the most part on each of those two teams. You know, Atlanta's not necessarily a bad team, but not necessarily one of the better teams, right? So they're thinking, okay, if you put him along with Kawhi Leonard and then James Harden, and then you have Ivica Zubac, you know, kind of doing all the dirty work. He doesn't have to do the dirty work. He can, you know, kind of rely on what he does best, and that's kind of being athletic, you know, kind of a scoring kind of guy. That's probably why they did it. It gives them a lot of size. But, dude, the Clippers drafted, like, what, two other centers? Now they have Brook Lopez, too. They're huge, man, along with John Collins. You know, this is kind of the new wave. You're getting bigger, right, in the NBA. Yeah. So,
the only thing that I would kind of be wary of with in Collins' case is the times that he's played good is when he's been, quote-unquote, the man, the main option.
Right.
And whenever he's been not the main option, he's played questionable. And going to the Clippers, he will not be the main option. He won't be the first, second.
He'll probably be the fourth option, honestly.
Third, most likely fourth. And
so
Norman Powell, as you said, has come off the bench, so he's acclimated to deferring and playing with other players. And so kind of from his perspective, he's a better fit in what he understands his role to be. I'll be curious with John Collins, you know, how he plays with a better team. So we'll see. But that was my first impression. It's like, if I'm looking at it like if that was my team, I'd kind of be a little annoyed.
Yeah.
I would have rather kept Powell.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But, you know, they have their reasons. He's probably a cheaper option longer term. Just, you know,
this day and age with the second apron, you know, people are – did you happen to catch Draymond going nuts on social media and basically nuts is a strong word. He was saying that players today are – that free agency is not what it used to be due to the second apron, due to the CBA agreement. That players don't really understand the business of it, and that a lot of them are expecting more, and they're not going to get it because the teams are just hamstrung with this second apron. They're not going to do it, and it isn't just about money. It's about losing draft picks. It's about a very steep penalty. It's about losing your mid-level exception. You know, when you break that second apron, I mean, you pretty much can't do anything. And so, it was just interesting that Draymond, which I thought he was correct,
right.
You know, calling out, and you know, some people was wondering if he was talking about Kuminga, right? Because Kuminga kind of had an opportunity early in the season to sign a contract. I believe he was offered $30 million a year or something like that, and he turned it down.
He turned it down.
And now it's looking like, I don't know, maybe he's going to play for the $7 million that they offered for one.
Because nobody else is offering anything to him.
Yeah, no one's offering. Yeah,
I mean, you heard the Kings do a low-ball offer, right? You know, Devin Carter, a second-round draft pick, and Dario Saric, the Warriors probably thought they can get more, but maybe that might have been a pretty good deal now looking at things, right? But anyway, you got to give it to the kid. He bet on himself. He actually was showing out until he got injured. And then when he got injured and came back, it was a different team. And he had to reintegrate. And, you know, he's had a rough start to his career. It's because, you know, the system doesn't really – showcase, I think, his talents. You know, they kind of want him to do a lot of what Kevon Looney kind of does, as well as what Andrew Wiggins did. You know, they play defense, and they play defense. I mean, dude, the Warriors turned Andrew Wiggins into a defensive beast because he was not like that, not even close when he was at Minnesota, right? They turned him into a defensive beast, and they think that this guy, Kuminga, has the same attributes to be very defensive oriented. And he does. He's very athletic. He's very fast footed. He's probably one of the more athletic guys in the league, honestly. You know, it's just that his mindset is not that way. And that's what frustrates Kerr, is that he wants him to do all of the little things to make himself an overall better player. And he just doesn't want to comply. He wants to do his own thing, right? And, yeah. You know, he's, I think his time at Golden State is definitely limited now. I mean, they're going to try and probably move him, depending on how he does. Assuming that no other team comes in for a deal, you know, in the offseason, if he starts in the for the Warriors, you know, not starts, but plays for the Warriors, you know, this year, you know, it depends on how he gets integrated, but it's likely going to be more of the same, and more than likely he's going to get kind of put into a kind of a sign and trade kind of deal at the deadline. That's what I think.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And, you know, having played a little ball, you know, me, I was always more defensive oriented than offense.
Yeah.
And I always found it easier to use my energy on defense. I felt more comfortable. I felt like I knew what I was doing. And I think Kuminga's the opposite, right? Kuminga feels more energy, feels more comfortable on the offensive end. Things right. He can do in the offense. And, you know, it's such a hard thing to do. I mean, historically, we've had so many players that are offensive oriented that score a bunch of points but don't win.
Yeah.
You know, then there's some that score a bunch of points and do win. But it's just, yeah, with Kuminga, he's just wrong place, wrong time. That's all. I mean, you know.
I agree. And yeah. I think he needs a change of scenery to kind of revitalize his career. And I think he needs to go to a team where he kind of has the chance to stand out, because he has the talent to stand out. It's just that he doesn't stand out like he wants to at Golden State, right? It's just the way it is, man.
Yeah. I'll be fascinated if and when he gets traded, how his career progresses.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we had Jordan Poole, who I would argue his career has peaked or gotten a little worse since he was a Warrior.
Well, for sure.
So it's just because, you know, for many years, us old-time Warrior fans, if you wanted a player to get better, trade him, because they all got better once they left the Warriors. You know, that was historic.
That's the old regime. That's the Chris Cohan days, man.
Correct. That's the early years, and now it seems to be a little bit of the opposite, you know?
No, I agree. I agree. Now it's like anybody who leaves the Warriors isn't the same. And it's the gravity of Steph Curry, man. Steph Curry makes everybody else better because of all the attention defensively that he commands, right?
Exactly. Wonder how much Kuminga thinks about that, how much he owes his offensive prowess to the fact that Curry's on the floor.
Yeah. I agree, bro. So, Rick, one other thing that I want to bring up as we're talking about all the, you know, and we're probably not going to talk about all 12 trades, but the other one that I wanted to kind of single out is not that it's a transaction, but it's news, right? And the news is, oh, and by the way, before I forget, there was a flash from Shams Charania that Devin Booker signed a 2-year extension for $145 million to return back to the Suns. That was just newly released just now as we were on this podcast.
Okay.
But the thing that I wanted to bring up is, you know, not a transaction, okay? It's not a transaction, but it's news. And the reason why it's news is because it involves arguably the best player in the NBA right now, right? In Nikola Jokic, that he has declined to seek a contract extension this summer.
Yes.
And prefers to delay till next summer. Now, you know, what does that mean? People are going to read into that, right? People are going to read into, does this mean that Nikola Jokic wants to kind of get out of, you know, Denver and wants to kind of maybe explore his options elsewhere because he realizes that, you know, he's getting older. And, you know, even though, you know, he's still not old, he's getting older. His team has definitely gotten a little bit better now that they have Cam Johnson instead of Michael Porter. They have Bruce Brown coming back, right? They don't have Russell Westbrook, but they have other guys that kind of shore up their bench. But, you know, he probably is looking around the NBA and going, man, all these other teams are getting a lot better, man. You know, that's one thought, right? The other thought is he doesn't want to be a distraction. He doesn't want to be a distraction to this team to try and figure out that whole thing, and he wants to just push it out till next summer, right? That's another thought, man. What are your thoughts, man? What do you think, man?
I'll tell you the scariest of scary thoughts for me.
Okay.
I said this before. Basketball doesn't seem to be his top priority.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if he's contemplating retirement.
Really?
I'm just telling you, he's the kind of guy that's like, whatever, man. I've won a championship. I've won several MVPs. I don't really need to prove anything. I'm just going to go home, mess with my horses, you know, do what I do. It wouldn't shock me. I'd be surprised, but it wouldn't shock me.
That's an interesting thought, man. It never crossed my mind, man. Because, you know, he hasn't had any major injuries.
Correct.
Nothing. Not correct. Even close. Okay. Correct. It's just the style of play, man. He's kind of a lumbering guy, but he's very skilled, right? Doesn't try and jump out of the gym. Doesn't try and do like block shots out of, you know, the weak side blocks where he kind of jumps high and he can hurt himself coming down on an ankle, right? Nothing like that. He's very, deliberate in how he plays, but very smart and can see the court. Like his court vision is ridiculous, dude. It's like probably the best since Magic Johnson, honestly. I haven't seen anybody like him from a court vision standpoint other than Magic Johnson, right?
Yeah.
But so the reason I'm bringing that up is because there's not much wear and tear on his tires or his tread, right?
Right.
He's got a lot of basketball left to play, man. Yeah, right. And he's a bigger guy, dude. I mean, you know, he can push other people around with his size, and other people are the ones who are feeling the impact more than him, right? So that kind of surprises me that that's a thought process, but it's an interesting thought process, you know?
Yeah, I'm just looking at, you know, like when they won the championship, he couldn't wait to leave. If I'm not mistaken, I remember him thinking he didn't want to go to the parade. You know, he just wants to go home. Like, he just his exhibited behavior, like, whatever, man. This is just – I'm just kind of projecting here a little. But
no, I hear you. You're just bringing up the theory, right?
Something that could be a possibility. The way I read his face and his body language is, this is just a stupid game. It doesn't matter. You know, that's kind of the way I look at it. And, like, I'm bored with it. I'm done with it. I'm going to go do things that matter, right? And so that's kind of the vibe that I get from him. And of course, the other one could be he's holding Denver ransom. Like, show me what you guys are going to do to improve this team, and then I'll sign. But if you guys don't do anything, then I'm going to look at other options.
Right.
I mean, he's what, in his 10th season?
Yeah, something like that. Right around there. Yeah, and second round pick, probably considered the best second round pick we will ever see, man. I don't think we'll ever see another guy like that in the second round, right?
I agree.
But I wanted to bring that up even though it wasn't a transaction because that is something that, you know, our people are going to be talking about. And we wanted to kind of give you our takes, audience, as to what we think. I think he just doesn't want to be a distraction. That's my thought. Twan's thought is maybe he might be contemplating maybe retiring, right? We shall see, man. The other one that I wanted to bring up, bro, before, as we move on, is Chet Holmgren. They signed him to a super max, not a super max, a maximum rookie contract extension worth up to $250 million, 5 years extension. They just did that this year. They just signed Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They're going to have to sign Jalen Williams here shortly, right?
That's the ticket, Eddie.
Well, yeah, right. I know. Jalen Williams with the E-N, not the Y-N.
Me, if you're going to sign two of those three, it better be Jalen Williams and Shai Gilgeous. Like, to me, the odd man out is Chet Holmgren. So the fact that you paid Chet, you better pay Jalen. That's all I'm going to say, because to me, that's the second best player on that team, and arguably in a couple of years could be fight for the first best player on that team.
That's true. You were talking about that his trajectory was better than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at the same point in his career.
Now, Shai Gilgeous was playing with the Clippers. He got traded. It was, you know, he was not in the same situation as Jalen, and so you gotta cut him some slack. But in terms of statistically, he's on a higher track than what Shai Gilgeous was. But, you know, I like Chet Holmgren, but to me, the heart and soul is Jalen and Shai. Those are the two guys there.
We shall see what happens, bro. Next, the championship, you know, they want to keep it going, so they're going to pay their guys to stay. And, they have a boatload of picks coming in, you know, the next 3 years that are going to backfill in case anybody kind of leaves or, you know, gets disenchanted because they're not getting paid. But, you know, this team is slated to be a dynasty for the next 5 years.
Here's where the work comes, Eddie, now, because all those other secondary players, it's going to be a turnstop.
Yeah.
Get this guy out, put a new draft pick in. Get this
guy
out.
What's going to happen.
We're paying, you know, 80% of our salary cap is going to these three guys.
Right.
Oh, and so that's really where the hard part is. That's where a lot of these teams, that's where Denver's fallen off. You know, that's where, to some extent, you know, the Warriors have fallen off. That's where, you know, the Lakers will be here, you know, depending on what they do, which, by the way, I read an article, LeBron's not happy. We can talk about that here in a second. But, yeah, so that to me is really where the work comes in. And that's what makes me – I mean, I think Oklahoma deserved the championship. They were the more talented team. We talked about that. But that's where it kind of saddens me when you look at, like, the Indiana Pacers, right? Because, number one, they lost Miles Turner. But, number two, they're going to have a group of guys that they're going to have to pay. And once you have to pay those guys, then there's other parts that are going to be less, and now it's just going to be harder to keep
I agree.
The team together.
I agree, bro. I agree. We shall see what happens on the fallout, but I just want to bring that up because he got the rookie max deal. The other player who got a rookie max deal is Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic. He got a 5-year extension that could reach up to $287 million. I guess that must be with incentives. I didn't read up as to what it could become and how.
You make a first team All NBA or if you make something like that. Yeah.
But I wanted to bring that up. Like, you know, bravo to him being the number one pick, and he's actually showed out. He's actually become a pretty damn good player in Orlando. So that's their first. The Orlando Magic made that move. The other move that they made since last week is that they signed their free agent forward center brother of Franz Wagner and Mo Wagner to a 1-year $5 million contract. So they've been relatively busy. They've done three off-season deals so far. The other one being Tyus Jones, who they signed as a point guard free agent for 1 year. But hey, I just wanted to bring that up with Orlando. Any parting thoughts on that before we go on to the other teams?
No. I mean, I think Paolo deserves it. He's been a solid player. Again, this is such a different NBA, Eddie. I look at these extensions, these max contracts, and the first thing that comes to my mind is, all right, what are you going to do now? Like, how are you going to build your team now?
Right.
Oh, and so it's almost like the NFL. You know how the NFL, like, there's a strategy, obviously. It hasn't really been working, but once you get a cheap quarterback, like Brock Purdy, for example, you pay everybody around him until, because you know in 3 or 4 years you're going to have to pay Brock Purdy and he's going to have a different team now. Like, that's where we're at today, right? It's almost the same thing that's happening in the NBA. Now, you're going to pay these guys, and you better win, because in a couple of years you're not going to have any money. Well, not that you won't have any money. You won't have any room on the salary cap to bring anybody else on board. And that's where you get into situations like the teams with no benches, like New York Knicks, like
and the Denver Nuggets.
Like, yeah, you start getting into that situation, and then what do you do?
Yeah, no, I hear you, bro. I hear you. All right, but, you know, Orlando Magic are a young team. You know, they're an up-and-coming team. They just needed some shooting. They got some shooting with Desmond Bain, right? We shall see what other moves, if any, other ones that they make to kind of beef up their squad. The other trade I wanted to kind of bring up is the Washington Wizards. Okay, they traded away Kelly Olynyk to the Spurs. And what they did get in exchange is Malachi Branham and Blake Wesley and a 2026 second-round pick. Now, you know, when we were covering the Washington Wizards, one of the things that we brought up is that their salary cap was ugly, bro, all right? Their salary cap was like, and I'm trying to pull up exactly what the number is, bro, but their salary cap, they were 96.5 over the salary cap, was one of the worst, and they were the 30th ranked worst net rating team in the league, right?
You can have that, Eddie.
And they had to do something, so they started to make, you know, they're starting to make a lot of moves. They essentially made some room, you know, trying to get rid of some of that extra pay that they had to pay off. And this is probably one of those deals that Kelly Olynyk did want to offload them, bring in some younger guys that are less expensive. And they have some new guys that are coming on the squad from the draft. So it's going to be interesting. You know, I'm glad that they're doing this because we saw them being a mess, right? They're doing some things to kind of correct their balance sheet right now as far as their salary cap. So that's a good thing that they're doing. The other thing that they did is they traded two second round picks for Houston forward Cam Whitmore. Okay, so Cam Whitmore now comes to the Washington Wizards in exchange for two second round picks that they sent to Houston for that exchange. So good for them that they're doing this. Any other comments on that, or any other company?
No. It's interesting that the Spurs want Olynyk. You know, I'm wondering if they're, you know, hedging their bet on Wembanyama, making sure that, you know, comes back, doesn't have as much of a load. I mean, I know he's a young guy, but obviously he had the clots and all that and things that they're keeping an eye on. So I'm just, for me, it's the right trade for Washington. Olynyk is the kind of guy that you really want to put on a veteran team, a championship team. He can be a backup guy, you know, someone who fills in some minutes here and there. That's the right role for him. You know, in Washington, what is he going to do? You know, like, there's really no fit for him. So from that perspective, I agree with it. I'm just curious on Olynyk's, you know, what that means. What are the Spurs saying that they're picking? Is it just purely for backup reasons?
Just in
case break glass, you know, emergency kind of deal. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, man. But So the last one that kind of, there's a couple other ones, but you know, just wanted to, you know, move on to the next topic because we're kind of already almost at 45 minutes on this one. But the one thing I wanted to bring up is that there was a trade between, you know, the Boston Celtics and the Portland Trail Blazers that brought Jrue Holiday over to the Portland Trail Blazers and brought Anthony Simons over to the Boston Celtics. Well, they had two second round picks that were going to go to Boston. Those have now been eliminated. They're not trading those second round picks. So Portland gets to keep that. I don't know how or what happened, but that's what happened, right? So it essentially became a one for one kind of thing. Anthony Simons for Jrue Holiday. So,
All right, man.
Any other ones you want to bring up before we go on to the next segment?
The Cam Johnson trade from Brooklyn. We already talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
Okay, we did.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Any other ones?
No. I'm looking here. No.
All right, man. Everything. All right, bro. All right, so that's it for the trades and signings. I'm sure there's going to be a topic that we're going to talk about for the next 2 to 3 weeks because there's going to be more deals coming down the pipe, man. So, but the next segment that we're going to talk about is the Summer League and our rookie fantasy matchup. Now, actually, you know, the buzzer beaters definitely kind of shows, hides some things here. But what I want to go, you know, we're going to have to talk to John about making that a little bit smaller, right? So, or maybe, is there a way to zoom that in or out on your side to kind of
figure
out? Oh, there we go, a little bit. But can you zoom in the content a little bit or zoom out?
Let me see.
If you can't, no worries, man.
No.
Yeah, you're zooming in and zooming out. All right. Yeah. So what it says up there, it says Cisco Kids Rookie Fantasy League, right? But what we did is the names that we show at the top, those – and by the way, you didn't get the updated you did get the
updated one. This is the updated one.
Yeah, this is the updated one. Sweet. Okay. So – we're keeping track of, you know, the players that we drafted in our little league. And the one at the top is my team. That's Dylan Harper, Colin Knuppel, VJ Edgecombe, Colin Murray Boyles, and John A. Broom, and then Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Trey Johnson, Kamon Malawach, and Rashir Fleming from Minnesota. Now, you'll see that Ace Bailey is the only one who's played on Tuan's team. But he's actually showed out pretty well, man. Right? He's done 54.8 points total, right? So he's actually done pretty well. Now look at my team with VJ Edgecombe, and that dude looks like a little player, man. He scored 53 total fantasy points in game one and hasn't played
smooth.
Since.
He looks good. Right?
Yeah, he looks good, man. And then the guy John A. Broom, however you say his name, we've been calling him Johnny.
Call him Johnny.
Johnny Cakes. Cakes Broom.
Johnny Cakes.
Yeah. but anyway, he's actually done pretty well, you know. And I kind of just took a flyer on that pick, man. But he's actually done pretty well. But these are only covering the California Classic as well as the Salt Lake City Summer League. So, but I just want to bring up the score. But what games out of the games you've been watching? Anything stand out? Any players that have stand out other than the ones that are on our team? Is there anybody that has stood out from, you know, some of the other players that got drafted?
The Miami game, Keyshawn Johnson's kid.
Keyshawn Johnson? Johnson?
Yes. I thought he played pretty well. He's really – and then there was his teammate, I can't remember his name right now.
Pella Larson?
Yes.
He played for them last year. Yeah. Both those guys are from – they were both drafted last year out of Arizona, man. They were both teammates in Arizona.
Yeah, both those guys stood out to me in that game. You already mentioned Bailey. Bailey's been playing pretty well. He did pretty well.
His first game was kind of pressing a little bit. The second game, I think he let everything come to him a little bit more. That was my observation.
My view on Bailey is – you know, I'm taking a gamble on him, but the way that he's coming off, he's a very confident individual.
Yep. You know,
and so I'm looking at this like either that confidence is real and he earned it, or that confidence is overblown and he's going to have a horrible year. So I'm thinking it's going to be one of the two, Eddie. He's really going to be like really good or not very good at all. Oh, there you go.
I just did something. I was trying to – go put it back, dude. I was trying to see if I can move things around, but I can't.
Yeah, no, it won't. It won't.
Yeah, all right. Sorry, bro. I interrupted you.
Maybe. Yeah, no. I'm just thinking he's going to be feast or famine is my opinion on Bailey, and I'm betting that he's going to be feast. You know, he's playing for a Utah team.
Right.
Going to need scoring. That's going to
– Yes.
You know, to me, Lauri Markkanen is a good player, but he's not a number one. They need a number one type guy. Yep. And I'm hoping that he's going to be that number one top guy. He definitely has the confidence, you know.
For sure. He's got size. Yeah. He's got athleticism and size, man.
Yep.
So,
yep. So we'll see how that plays, but I do think he's going to be a feast or famine guy.
And so the guys that have impressed me, so VJ Edgecombe for sure. Yep. He only played that one game, right? We have yet to see Dylan Harper play for the Spurs, and there's three games that have happened. I think they're kind of saving him for maybe the Las Vegas one, and not these, you know, kind of small time summer leagues in San Francisco and in Salt Lake City. Yeah. But you know, I was watching the Thunder game, and the guys that have been playing well, the second year guys are all playing well. It was Thunder versus Memphis. Jalen Wells of the Memphis Grizzlies. Playing really well, man. I mean, he started last year for them, right? Yep. He was actually third in voting for Rookie of the Year. Yep. He's played very well.
Yep.
G.G. Jackson for the Memphis Grizzlies. Dude, I mean, he only played like 29 games last year.
Yep.
And he looks like, I mean, and he looks like he got bigger, man. It looks, and he's a pretty athletic dude, and he can shoot. So, you know, they have him coming back. They have Vince Williams coming back. He didn't play, though, but Vince Williams coming back. But going on the other side, on the Thunder side, I was kind of looking very closely. You know, A.J. Mitchell is the guy who came out of UC Santa Barbara, and he actually played pretty well. He's the lefty point guard type. He played pretty well. And the other guy that I was watching is this Nikola Topic. Nikola Topic was a guy that he was a 12th pick last year for the Thunder, and then he got injured, right? So he hadn't played all last year, but this is his first real summer league in playing. And, you know, the guy's a big dude. The one thing that I saw about him, bro, is that he's got great vision. Great vision. Handles the ball okay. I think someone like a Jalen Wells or someone who's very athletic, you know, who's a very good defender, can really disrupt his rhythm a little bit, right? He had a hard time kind of getting around some of those guys. He had like 7 turnovers in his first game, bro. That's, you know, kind of alarming for a point guard. But he's a big dude, and he has a decent shot, but great vision, man. He's got great vision. The only thing is that I think his – He lacks a little bit of athleticism and kind of can be a little careless, and I think kind of caves under real intense pressure. That's what I saw in the first game. But the guy looks with some more work, he could be a player, man, because he's just got good size and good vision, man. Those are the two guys that the three guys with VJ and Edgecombe, you know, those are the guys that have stood out for me.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to see I did see Ace Bailey play. I saw him play for sure. He looked good in the second game primarily. The first game looked okay. And then I didn't really watch the Warriors too much. So, but, you know, I can tell that Will Richard guy, he's actually playing pretty well. At least from what I saw. He looks like he's playing out of Florida, right?
Yeah, he's a defensive-oriented player. I like his defensive mentality.
Yes.
And, you know, his stroke's decent. He's really good on defense. He moves a lot on defense. And,
yes.
You know, you and I have been like, hey, if you're a defensive guy, we'll teach you the offense. You know, he seems to me like a little bit bigger version and faster version of Moses Moody.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, they got him with the 52nd pick? Hey,
No, they took Tuhi with the 52nd.
So then they got him at the
56.
The 56th pick.
Correct. Yeah. Ooh. And that was part of the trade that they did with Durant going to Houston. That 17 trade, that's what that was. Because they initially had Kobe Bray on the 59th pick, and then they swapped that for Will Richard.
Yeah, they had the 59th pick became this other guy. And I forgot
Kobe Bray, wasn't it?
No, it was another guy.
Okay.
He played for Memphis. I think he got traded to Memphis. But he had a kind of funky name. Anyway, I'm not going to look it up right now to waste people's time.
Yeah.
But those are the guys that to me is John A. Broom. He looks decent. You know, he looked like he got a little slender, like he got a little bit, like he worked on his body because he's kind of like a bigger, bigger guy in college out of Auburn. Kind of a down low, low post player, which, you know, he's not going to really last doing that in the NBA because he's not as big as everybody else is, you know, relative in college. You know, he'll get swatted almost every time, but he's, you know, he shot a couple threes. You know, he looks like he's worked on his game. So, you know, I'm kind of happy with that pick that I made. I kind of took a flyer pick on that one, but I think he looks, you know, he's going to be on a rebuilding Sixers team. We're going to see what happens with Joel Embiid, man. Nothing's been announced about, you know, whether he's going to get traded or what, you know, but, you know, or, you know, I know he had some surgeries. We'll see if he's recovering. I don't know, man. But they're definitely in kind of a, I don't want to say rebuild. They're in a retool phase. Retool kind of meaning like they're not doing this.
You can't be in a rebuild when you got
Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey and Paul George, right? The mush.
Yeah.
So yeah. But anyway, those are our observations. Any other guys you want to bring up or any other teams?
No. I'm excited for the Vegas Summer League so that everyone can start playing.
Exactly.
I look towards the guys that can dominate this league. Obviously, they're mostly first and second year players. There's some players that have been around longer trying to catch on with the league. But,
yep.
You know, last year, Pippen Jr. was someone who caught my eye. So I'm going to be on the lookout on some of these second year and third year players to see who's kind of the next version of that. But, but yeah, you know, it should be a fun summer league.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man, for sure. Hey, and us doing this little thing kind of keeps our attention on it, too.
Exactly.
Right?
It forces us to
kind of really look at these players, right? That's what fantasy sports does, man. It forces you to kind of look at the players and not necessarily the teams. You know, I brought it up, you know, I think to JJ when we had him on our 50th episode that I hated the Raiders, right? But fantasy has kind of neutralized my hatred for the Raiders.
Yeah.
because sometimes there's some of their players I want to do well on my team, and therefore I don't hate them as much. But I still don't like them as much.
I know Harper didn't play in the California Classic. Have you heard if he's going to play in the Vegas Summer League?
I have not. I have not yet. I'm sure he will, though. Most of these high-profile guys are going to get a chance to play 1 to 2 games max, right?
Yeah, and I had my head in the sand. I didn't realize that was Ron Harper's kid.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I did not know that. And you said Keyshawn Johnson is really Keyshawn Johnson's son?
I was assuming.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But okay. We'll find out. Anyway, all right, man. Let's go on to our last segment. We're here at 52 minutes. And for those of you who are listening, thanks for listening in.
It's going to be tough, Eddie.
So we're going to have to read up who we have here.
No, it's been worse.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Can you move? Ah, there we go. But it decides us, right?
Yeah, right, I wish I could make this bigger, but
we're gonna just have to talk to John about making that slightly smaller, bro.
Yeah.
All right. So this one is my team. Okay, so hold on for a second, bro. Let me just go ahead and because I can't see it very well. And I'm gonna have to.
Why don't we do this, Eddie? Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, it is, right?
There's no winning here.
It's all right, bro. Let me. I'll go ahead and just go to my. I can look it out on my screen so I can see the numbers. But everybody else can zoom in with their phones or their PCs to be able to see this information. You're just our faces are covered, unfortunately, right?
Yep.
But you can hear us still. All right. So what we did here is we wanted to kind of go over some of the analytics, you know, because this is we geek out on hoops, me and Twan, and we wanted to kind of go over some of the analytics for each of the teams. Namely for the Southeast Division, which is what I'm going to cover. And then Twan's going to go ahead and cover the Pacific after that. And then we're going to go through the other ones. But what I wanted to show here, so the Orlando Magic, we've already talked about the team metrics. And those are the ones at the top. You see that their offensive rating, they were 26th, but defensive rating, they were number 2. But their net rating, they were 17th in the NBA, right? Kind of middle of the pack. But what I also wanted to show you is that, you know, there are certain sites that actually break down the player analytics, right?
Yeah.
And what I wanted to show here so that everybody sees is that you can kind of see these certain players when they're on the floor, what their offensive rating on average is versus their defensive rating. And what you see next to the parentheses for instance, Jalen Suggs, he had the best defensive rating on the team at 104.8. That's 69th best in the entire NBA. And the NBA has over 500 players. If you include all the two-way players and all that, it's about 560 players that are in the NBA. Now, full-time NBA is probably maybe like closer around 400, right? So you have a lot of other players that are like, you know, kind of 13, 14, 15 players on the bench, right, that get playing time. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of point out what everybody's seeing here. So for Desmond Bain, you can see he had the best offensive rating, right? And he's a new player on the Orlando Magic, and he was brought primarily for shooting, which is what the Orlando Magic needed, because that offensive rating at 26 isn't going to cut it, bro, right? They are essentially the Houston Rockets of the East. So they brought in Desmond Bain. Desmond Bain had the best offensive rating on the team at 116.1 points per 100 possessions. This is what this is telling you. That number right there puts you at 91st place in the entire NBA, which isn't bad, right? It's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. But look at the net rating. The net rating, actually, Franz Wagner actually had better. And I put Desmond Bain at being the best, and it's not. It's Franz Wagner. And I forgot what number Franz Wagner is, but he's probably in the 90th to 100 net rating, what you see here. But you can see that they're bench. Most of their players on the bench are all negative net rating players.
Correct.
This is where they kind of needed some help. They needed some bench help, right? They needed to kind of – and, of course, getting Mo Wagner back after his injury, that's going to help, right? You know, signing a Desmond Bain will definitely make them a better offensive team. But, you know, some of these other players that are on the bench, you know, Jace Richardson, we'll find out, right? There's an NA because we don't have his information. It's not available yet, right? He's a rookie. You know, he's out of Michigan State, Jason Richardson's son. We shall see what happens with him in his development, but he's kind of a shorter guy. But then you got, you know, Jonathan Isaac, very good defensive player. Tristan Da Silva, who's an up-and-coming player, you know, out of Colorado. We shall see if he kind of makes the jump to be a better player. But, you know, this team right here from an analytics standpoint, you can see that they definitely need some help if you look at their overall complexion of the team. So any comments or questions before I move on to the next team, bro?
No, just for mine, I didn't grab the ratings. But, you know, I find it fascinating that, you know, people would argue that Banchero is the best player on that team, and yet his net rating is half a point negative.
Yeah.
You know, which – and I saw this trend in a lot of different kind of star players. And I'm curious, you know – what to make of it?
Yeah,
right. I'm curious what to make of it.
Well, you know, the other thing that I saw the trends in this is that it's not all player dependent either, right? It's the system dependent. It's also the how well the team plays as a team,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
You know, some of these players are kind of like in bad situations that are really good, like a Kevin Durant, for instance. He was a really good player, but on a bad team, his net rating actually was negative, right? Yeah. And that surprises you, right? For a Kevin Durant type of player, right?
Yep.
So, but I wanted to kind of show this, and we're going to do this for every team, right? So, we're just going to go on to the next team.
All right.
The next team that I had on my list, and by the way, this is a lot better. You move things around, so it's a lot better.
Now we're only blocking a little bit of the
top. A little bit, right? So the Miami Heat, you can see that their team ratings at the top, they were kind of like middle of the pack net rating wise. They were in the top 10 for defense. But you can see that the overall complexion of the team, you know, you look at their offensive, their starting five, for the most part, they're all net rating green. The only one that didn't have a really good one was Andrew Wiggins, which is surprising, man, right? Because he's a defensive guy, and you would think that he would make the team better. But I guess, you know, overall, relatively speaking, he had the lowest offensive rating on the entire starting lineup right now, right? 109.4 was the second worst on the team. Actually, it is the worst at 109.4 because you have Nikola Jovic at 109.6, which is better. So Andrew Wiggins had the worst offensive rating on the team from a defensive standpoint, which is his strength. You know, he's actually kind of middle of the pack, actually kind of trending towards the worst, actually, right? He's the second worst from a defensive rating, which is very surprising. So that kind of tells you that it's the system that they play in that actually makes a big impact on their overall net rating, right? But what's interesting is that if you look at this entire team, at least for the rotation pieces that I put on here, their net ratings are all mostly positive, right? There's only two that are negative, yet their net rating as a team was 15th in the NBA. That's interesting, bro.
That is.
That's really interesting. So
now, obviously, that net rating does not – like Norman Powell, for example, would not have been on that net rating, right?
Yes.
For
So that net rating is his net rating when he was on the Clippers.
No, understood. And from a statistical perspective, he's the best player on this.
Correct.
Chart.
Correct. Because he's the best offensive rated player on this team, the best defensive rated player on this team, and the best net rating player on this team.
Correct. Correct. And one thing to note also is, you know, the players on the bench are typically playing other bench players, right?
Yeah.
So it is like you know, for example, you see Haywood Highsmith or even Goga there with a 2.7 rating. You're like, well, why doesn't he play in the starting unit? Well, because he'd be playing against harder defenders and harder players, and his rating would probably be lower in that situation. So I do want to call that out for the people that are looking at this, you know, that it's not just that – it's not one-to-one kind of mapping between starters and bench players.
Yep. Yep. But that's interesting, huh? That the little trend that you see here, you would think that the net rating being 15th for their team, that it would show more reds than what it shows, right? It's just showing you that the net rating, you know, are not that significant. You know, they're all kind of like close to zero, right? One to net rating of one or zero, right? That's the reason why they're 15th. Right. You know, you compare that to a team like the Thunder, you're going to see a lot of like net ratings being positive. Their whole team's like positive, but huge. That's another team I'll cover later, man. Let's go on to the next team, man.
All right.
So here we got the Atlanta Hawks. Here's another one that was very surprising. Okay. Cause if you look at their overall team net rating, they're 18th, right? Offensive, defensive, and net rating, they're all 18th across the board, which is very interesting, right? Yeah. And you can look at the offensive rating. Their best offensive rating is going to be a newly acquired Luke Kennard from the Memphis Grizzlies, right? He's 15, the 117.6 is no joke, dude. That's 59th best in the NBA, right?
Pretty good.
That's pretty damn good, man, right? Now, if you look at the best defensive rating on the team, it's Mohammed Guy, and he's at 104.7. That's good for 86th in the NBA, which is respectable, right? But the guy hardly plays. It's a small sample size. That's essentially what they're kind of, you know, going by is a small sample size. But, you know, he's essentially now on the team. And Clint Capella, you know, another player that we forgot to mention that he's now on the Houston Rockets. He got placed on the Houston Rockets, came back to the Houston Rockets, to be another center. He's played there before, right? That's where he started his career. Now he's like the third center behind us, Steven Adams and Alperen Şengün. So now, you know, he's no longer here at the Atlanta Hawks, and now you have Mohammed Guy essentially going to be replacing him. If you look at the overall net rating, Mohammed Guy is still the guy. He was the best. He's 80. Is that 66 or that's 66?
66. Yeah, he's 66 for net rating.
Best. So Mohammed Guy, what that tells me is, okay, there's a reason why they made that move, because this guy actually shows that he could play, right? He could be a backup center to Onyeka Okongwu. And Onyeka Okongwu was the guy that we were talking about before the season began. We thought Clint Capella had a short life on this team because this guy was emerging, right? And he actually has emerged. And the guy can shoot. Clint Capella can't shoot. Onyeka Okongwu can't, right? Yeah. So, but again, it's interesting to see the complexion of the team, that most of it is all green on net rating, and yet their net rating is 18 best. In the entire league, right?
And the best net rating on the starting unit is Porzingis, and obviously he's a newly joined member of the Atlanta Hawks, right? So those ratings up above don't count, but
Second best on the team for net rating.
Second best on the team, but best on the starters.
Correct. All right, man.
Third best on the team, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, let's go to the next one. Now here's another. Okay, we got the Charlotte Hornets. No surprise, bro. They're all net ratings of negatives, right? With the only caveat being the two newly acquired through the draft, Colin Knoebel and Ryan Kalkbrenner. Those guys
you're thinking they're going to start from day one.
That's what it shows, that they're projected to start.
Yep. That's what it shows. I agree.
Why not, right? Why not? What's interesting, bro, is one guy I wanted to point out is a guy that they drafted last year. In Tajani Salon, look at that net rating, dude, 11.9 negative. That's one of the worst ones I have seen.
Yeah.
Okay. But you can look at, relatively speaking, that's definitely the worst on this team. But if you keep looking, 11.9, you're going to look at other teams, that's definitely one of the worst. But look at that offensive rating, dude, at 99.4. That's like, whoa. that screams like, whoa, what did we do? What kind of pick did we make here, right?
Well, you made a defensive player pick, which his defense not all that great, but that's
correct. That's correct. But he hardly played, bro. He hardly played on a team that wasn't that good. So that makes you kind of question whether or not these guys are, you know, they're second guessing themselves right now and making that pick, right?
Yeah.
So they have newly acquired Colin Sexton. You know, he came from the Utah Jazz, and you can see that his overall net rating is -7.5 because he came from a pretty bad team, right? And this all kind of plays into it, right? But you can see that the best net rating on the team was Musa Diabate at -3.4, and that's best for 348th in the entire NBA, bro. LaMelo Ball being their best offensive player at 112.7, that's good for 196th in the NBA.
That's
very interesting.
That's very interesting. But looking at this, the one thing that I does make sense is LaMelo Ball's injury history to have a backup point guard like Colin Sexton is going to be helpful. At least
absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good call. I agree with you.
And I know LaMelo's flashy and everything, but you could have a little bit of a debate there as to who should start.
Yeah, I agree, man. All right, man, let's go on to the next team. I think this is my last team. And by the way, you know what we're going to do is we're only going to cover this. We're going to cover the Pacific Division after that, and then we're going to call it, man, because we're already at an hour and 5 minutes, so that we can do the rest of the other divisions next week.
Okay.
As well as the coverage of the Summer League. All right. I thought the last one
was ugly, Eddie. Holy crap.
Yeah, dude. Okay. So, yeah, okay. I misspoke that 11.9 is the worst. Okay. But look at this, dude. There's only two lone guys on this team that actually both are veteran guys that are the only glimmer of hope of not having a full negative team, and that's Chris Middleton, who was an acquisition that they made last year.
He has a net
rating of 1.5, but he has the best offensive rating at 114.1, which is good for 145th in the entire league, right? You got that. And the other glimmer of hope is Marcus Smart. He had the best defensive rating on the team, and at 107.3 is good for 113th in the entire league. And look at his net rating of positive 2.6. 177th in the league, but look at the net ratings of everybody else, bro. Bub Carrington, Bilal Coulibaly, which is interesting because Bilal Coulibaly is a very good defensive player. He came out of France. Alex Sarr, another guy out of France.
Yeah, but his defensive rating is high.
I know, but he's a defensive player. It just goes to show you, man, it's not all the player. It's sometimes it's the system. Sometimes it's the collective. Sometimes it's the coaching. Sometimes it's the way that the roster's constructed. That's the GM's fault. But this team was in serious help of a need for identity, a new identity. And it seems like they're trying to do some things. They got rid of, you know, Jordan Poole, right? They brought in CJ McCollum, who's kind of a leader of the NBA. They have three veteran guys, and CJ McCollum, Chris Middleton, and Marcus Smart. These all are good locker room guys. Kelly Olynyk is no longer on this team, right? So that's the other thing.
Kyle Kuzma is no longer on this team. Yep.
Correct. Yeah. So the thing is, you know, and I didn't put him in there because I knew that he was gone. But Kelly Olynyk, and one of the things you pointed out, bro, is that for us to do this, it's kind of early because there's still kind of off-season.
Yeah, there's still movement.
There's still movement, right?
Kelly Olynyk wouldn't even play a role here anymore, but yeah.
Right. But now he's on the Spurs, right? So he's there for depth. So, but anyway, I wanted to kind of, you know, give you some, you know, and I don't know if when you get to your section with the Pacific Division, you probably didn't put the offensive rating and defensive rating part, right? The parentheses, did you do that?
No, I didn't. I didn't do the ranking.
Okay. What I'm going to try and do is as you're presenting, I'm going to go ahead and see what I can pull up, right?
Okay.
Online. So as you go ahead and, because you're next, bro.
All right. Switch over.
Go for it, bro.
All right. So as Eddie mentioned, I'm going to start with the Pacific Division here. We're looking at the Los Angeles Lakers. And the first thing that stood out to me here was, you know, let me go over the top here. Obviously, they were ranked, their net rating, they were 14th overall, which is a little better than half, which is interesting because, you know, they were a top four seed in the Western Conference, which most people feel the Western Conference is better than the Eastern Conference at this point. But the thing that stood out to me right away was the fact that LeBron James had a negative net rating, right? He had a negative net rating of 1.3. Which earlier we were talking about, there's been some rumors that he's not happy with the current circumstance of the Lakers. I know that his agency, Rich Paul, has been having conversations with the Lakers. So that is interesting. And then the other thing to note here is DeAndre Ayton, who they just traded for, who played for Portland last year, had the lowest net rating of the starters here at -6.9. So that was interesting. Luka Doncic had a very good number. Austin Reeves had a pretty good number. Rui Hachimura completes the starters. And then we look at the bench. And again, mostly everybody, they weren't hovering in the highs net ratings, but they were Gabe Vincent, which was in the positive, then Jordan Goodwin, who was also in the negative, and then a couple of other players. Jake LaRavia, who was a new acquisition. And then Jared Vanderbilt and Jackson Hayes. So Jackson Hayes was actually the default starter last year for the Lakers at center. Now he'll be pushed in the backup role for DeAndre Ayton. So if DeAndre Ayton can make an impact on that team, I think that you have this net rating should look better, presuming LeBron James plays with them next year. As you can see, the highest offensive rating on this team is 120 points. Luka Doncic, which is fairly high. My guess, he's probably in the, as Eddie looks this up, my guess is that he's probably ranked in the top 40.
He's number 38 offensively.
Yeah, so number 38. Yep. And then the highest defensive player on this board would be Jackson Hayes at 109.8. That's a little bit high. My guess is that he's probably somewhere in the 70s, something like that.
He's actually 222. Jackson Hayes is 222 with 109.8, right? Correct. And then the 8.4 net rating.
The Doncic's net rating, he's going to be fairly high. He's got to be in the top, I'm going to say top 30s.
Let's see. I'm almost there, man.
Yep. Okay.
8.4. It's 8.4, right?
8.4.
Actually, he's not, you know, his number isn't showing up as 8.4. So,
the difference that I have.
It would be 68.
Okay, 68.
Actually, no, wait, I take that back. Sorry. 60. His net rating is 9.1. Yeah.
Okay.
So 60th. So he's 38th and 60th for net rating. So a 38th for offensive rating and 60th for net rating.
Yep.
Pretty good.
And then Luka's been working out in the offseason, so apparently we're going to get a new, according to DeAndre Ayton, a new buff Luka. He said he was excited to play with the new buff Luka. Uh-huh. I'm old. I've seen a lot of things. Sometimes when a player loses weight, that doesn't contribute positively.
I know.
I'm anxious. I'm not saying that this is the case. I'm really going to be anxious what his game looks like, what his style looks like. If he comes in, you know, 20, 30 pounds lighter than he was last year, that's going to be a fascinating story as we go.
Yeah, I got to tell you that the weight, you know, I lost a lot of weight, bro. You're right.
Yep.
You know, over the years, you see me. I'm back to almost close to my high school weight. But at my peak weight, you know, when I was lifting a lot of weights and I played golf, bro, I hit my longest drive of my life.
Yep.
365 yards. I've done it twice. But that's when I was like 40 pounds heavier than I am now, right? Yeah. So that goes to show you're right. With more weight, I was a better golfer. And now I've lost weight.
Well, you know, your body acclimates to things, right? And so when you're heavier, you're harder to move. You kind of can, you know, move your way on the court easier, meaning not physically easier, but, you know, you can bump people around. And now if he's 20 to 30 pounds lighter and he tries to go into the paint, he may get shoved out.
Right.
You know, that 20 or 30 pounds may make a difference for him. So it's going to be curious. I'm not going to say he's better or worse. I'm going to kind of put these numbers in the time capsule and see what his numbers look like next year. But I'm just saying, you know, losing weight isn't always the best thing for some of these athletes, you know. All right, moving on to the Los Angeles Clippers. And for the Clippers, who had a very good season, and I know we've mentioned it before, Eddie and I had them as a dark horse to potentially win the whole thing because Kawhi Leonard was, you know, Eddie thinks very highly of Kawhi Leonard. I do as well.
I do too.
I think Eddie's a little bit higher than me, but he was playing well. I thought they had the opportunity to go far. They didn't. They got ousted by Denver. But in terms of their net rating, they were fifth in the league at 4.9, which is crazy considering OKC was number one at, 12 point something. So that's a big disparity between fifth place and first place. There's a lot of numbers in between there. In terms of the starting five, let's start with kind of give Eddie some help here. So the highest offensive rating on the team was
Kawhi Leonard. It's Kawhi Leonard, 26.
26.
26th best in the NBA.
Yep.
And his net rating is
Chris Dunn at
one. Yeah, but the net rating, because I'm on Kawhi Leonard, he's the best for net rating.
Correct. He is.
So he is number 33 in net rating in the entire NBA.
Correct.
Right? Now you can see why I like the guy, bro.
Yeah. No, right? No. I mean, when he's right, you know, one day when he retires, we'll see how his career goes. But he could have been, you know, in this era of talking about LeBron and Curry and Durant.
Yeah.
He could have been better than all of them.
He could have, if he stayed healthy.
Had he not been as hurt as he was.
Absolutely, man. I agree with you. I agree, 100% agree with you on that.
Yeah.
So, real quick, Chris Dunn, he is number 89th for defensive rating.
Okay.
That's pretty damn good, bro.
That is. And then, so the starters had overall, the net rating on the starters is very good. And for the rotation, You know, John Collins, newly acquired. Brooke Lopez, newly acquired. Bogdan Bogdanovic is also newly acquired. Yes? Am I tripping?
No, he's been, he was on the team last year.
Okay, all right.
He was the acquisition in the middle of the season.
Okay, okay, in the middle of the season. Okay, so the only two negatives are Jordan Miller and John Collins. So overall, for the starting rotation, this is a very defensive, good team, and their net ratings are all in the positive, with the exception, like I said, of John Collins, who's newly acquired. My guess is that'll change next year. I don't know if their overall net rating would increase from higher than fifth, but I could argue, and remember, we took out Norman Powell, who we already reviewed, and Norman Powell was the best player on the Wizards. So putting him in this lineup would have made it even better.
Heat. Yeah, it was the heat.
Heat. So, anyway, all right, moving on.
Next we have the
Golden State Warriors. So the Warriors were an interesting bunch. You know, obviously, we know a little bit more about the Warriors than the average team since we follow them closely. You know, the Warriors really were a mediocre defensive team most of the season. And then when they acquired Jimmy Butler after the All-Star game, after the All-Star break, they really shot up in defensive rankings. I want to say that when they acquired Jimmy Butler, I want to say they were in the low 20s, 21, 22, something like that, and they shot all the way up to 10. In terms of the starting, the best offensive rating player, obviously, is Steph Curry at 100.
It's number 48, by the way, in the NBA.
Yep. And then the best net rate player on this team would be Gui Santos. You know, Gui Santos, obviously, his minutes were limited, but
actually Brandon Podziemski.
Oh, on the starters, but overall for the whole team.
Wait, for the whole team? Oh, you're talking about net rating.
Correct, net rating.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at defensive rating. All right,
it would be Brandon Podziemski. And
that's 70th, by the way. Brandon Podziemski at 105.1 is 70th.
Okay. Maybe. And as we can see, the lowest net rating player on the starting five would be Buddy Hield, who really had an up-and-down season. You know, he had a good start, had a pretty crappy middle, and then towards the postseason started picking up again once the Warriors acquired Jimmy Butler.
By the way, Gui Santos, 10.6, is 39th best in the NBA.
Nice. In terms of the rotation, you know, there's still some things that need to be addressed. You know, ESPN, I took some of this information, the depth chart from ESPN. ESPN had Trayce Jackson-Davis as the backup center. Yes, I don't think that's going to be the case.
No, that's not the case. It's Quentin Post.
I put Quentin Post in there instead of TJD.
And it probably will be Al Horford, because rumor is he's going to get signed by the end of this weekend.
Well, my guess is that if Al Horford joins the Warriors, then Buddy Hield will get dropped out of the starting rotation. And then everybody gets – Jimmy Butler goes up to small forward, Draymond Green goes up to power forward, and then Al Horford would be in the starting unit. Yep. And then you have Buddy Hield coming off the bench. Yep. So I didn't put in the rookies here, obviously, because I don't know if they're – I don't think they're going to be in the rotation. There's an Armstrong player who they drafted a couple of seasons ago who's been playing in the summer league. We'll see how he does and see if he can crack the top. And then, obviously, no GP2 because he's unsigned but unlikely to return. So there's a couple of variables here. But based on what we have right now, this is the lineup. Obviously, as we talked about earlier, Jonathan Kuminga, he's up in the air. But you can see his overall net rating was 1. And, you know, what's interesting is he has the worst net rating of any other players on this team.
Yes, and everybody on this team is, like, legit as far as net rating, man.
Correct. All of them
collectively, it's really good.
Yep. Everyone's in the positive. And again, I think that they really took off as a defensive team. I know that for us Warrior fans out there, we were kind of disappointed the way the season ended. But all the games after the All-Star break, they played really impressively. They played really well. They had a good second half of the season. Well, not really second half, second quarter or last quarter of the season. They played really well, and I think these numbers represent that.
Yep. Right on, man. Good stuff.
Yep. All right, next is the Sacramento Kings. So the Sacramento Kings overall ranked at net rating at 0.6. Looking at the starting five here, obviously De'Aaron Fox is gone. At this point, I think Malik Monk is going to be the point guard, although we could argue that maybe Dennis Schroeder takes that spot from him. At this point, I'm going to leave it as Malik Monk. He is the top offensive-rated player on that team.
That's 68, by the way, best in the NBA.
Okay. And then as we look, Keegan Murray. No, not Keegan Murray. Dennis Schroeder is the one with the best defensive rating on this. Oh, no, I take that back. Our
Dario Saric.
is that 108.7, but you look at that offensive rating and that's putrid. and you look at his net rating and it's putrid. And so Neat Clifford is a rookie that they drafted this year, which is why I put, you know, the stats not available. But when you look at the bench, both Isaac Jones and Dario Saric that came from Denver, you know, they have pretty bad net ratings, right? They're both.
Yeah, so that's 161st. It's Dario Saric at 108.7. That's 161st, the best in the NBA.
Correct. And then you look at the starting five and you look at Zach LaVine, someone who's known for his offense and really known for not playing much defense, has a negative net rating as well. And, you know, that was a player that was up available for a variety of teams. Sacramento went in and picked him up. And so, you know, to me, he's really the only one that's questionable on the defensive end. All the other players are pretty decent defensive players.
Yep.
And so I think if he can improve or they can figure something out, I think Dennis Schroeder, if he's the right fit. Dennis Schroeder's an interesting guy because when he's the right fit, he plays really well.
Yeah, he does.
But it's got to be the right
fast,
fit.
Man.
Yeah, it's got to be the right fit. And really, when you look at the bench, the only guy that for last season that was in the positive was Keon Ellis.
And that's 162nd best in the NBA at 3.
Okay.
Rating at 3.
Yep. All right, cool. Moving on. And last for the Pacific, we have the Phoenix Suns, who had overall a pretty horrible year. They ranked 23rd at -3 net rating. The best offensive player on that team last year was Colin Gillespie from the bench, with Devin Booker trailing a little bit behind him. And then Eddie Herro will come up with the numbers. My guess would be that Durant was probably the best offensive rated player last year, but he's not on here.
Colin Gillespie is number 98th in the NBA at 115.6.
Devin Booker is really close, probably 90-something or maybe 100.
He's like 103.
Yep. And then you look at the defensive end, the best defensive player was Jalen Green, who's a newly acquired from the trade with Houston.
Actually, it's Dylan Brooks.
Oh, you're right. My bad. Dylan Brooks at 108.8. Which is also newly acquired from the So looking at least from a defensive perspective, the players they acquired are going to be a positive. Mark Williams is also a newly acquired player. His defensive rating is a little high. His net rating is really high. However, you know, he came from the Charlotte Hornets, which was a pretty horrible defensive team. So we'll kind of give him a pass. His offensive rating is a little low as well. But when you look at the starters, you got three guys in the negatives, with Bradley Beal being the worst, which any day now is what I'm hearing is they're going to buy him out. He seems to be maybe going to the Clippers. That seems to be the rumor mill. And then when you look at the bench, they're all in the negatives as well. You know, Ryan Dunn, Royce O'Neal, Colin Gillespie, all in the negatives. And then Malawach, obviously, is the rookie center from Duke that they drafted, and we don't have any numbers for him. So if you want to look at the best net rating, Eddie, oh, did I lose you? I think I lost Eddie. He was going to ask him a favor, and he jumped. But so let's see here. So Phoenix is going to be an interesting team. They acquired quite a bit of players in the Durant trade. They're going to be, I think, a very different team. As Eddie mentioned earlier in the podcast, Devin Booker just signed an extension, I believe a 2-year extension. You know, Dylan Brooks is an interesting player. You know, he's not much of an offensive player, although his offensive rating is pretty decent. And Mark Williams has been often injured. So if he can stay healthy, I think they might have something there. And for those that might remember, Mark Williams was part of the trade to the Los Angeles Lakers, and that got rescinded because he didn't pass the physical. And then not passing the physical, they kind of reverted everything back. And I forget the sharpshooter over there with the Lakers, but he was part of that trade, and they kind of reverted that. So Mark Williams went back to Charlotte, and then this trade was done during the offseason here where they picked him up. All right. I don't know where Eddie's at. Should I add him? Let me see if I can add him.
Yeah, there we go.
There you are. What's going on?
Dude, yeah, I was on here. I was trying to yell at you, but you didn't hear me. Yo, put me back on, bro.
There you are. All right. Yeah. There you are. So that wraps up. I was just talking about the Phoenix Suns, just talking about the Mark Williams trade. Jalen Green is new. Dylan Brooks is new. So they have some new players here. Malawach is going to be a backup center. It's going to be interesting to see. They also have Nick Richards, who was also with the Charlotte Hornets last year, I believe. So he's been hurt. I kind of put him as the third center on this list. He could he could arguably be the second or first. I mean, it's going to be kind of a three-headed monster fight for the starting position. But right now, I think Mark Williams has a little bit of the inside track. And then maybe Malawach is the backup. But we'll see how that goes.
By the way, Dylan Brooks, 108.8 is 169th best in the NBA for that defensive rating.
Yes.
And then for his net rating is 130th best at 4.7.
Okay.
All right.
But overall, as you can tell, they were 23rd, and most of these were negatives. So that is it, my man. That
right on, brother. Yeah, we did. So our intent was to go ahead and cover two more divisions, but we wanted to keep on time, right? An hour and 25 to an hour and 30 minutes is actually the max we'd like to go, because we don't want to lose you guys, right? Even though the draft show that we had, bro, is actually one of our highest viewed shows. Which is surprising. It was almost 4 hours long, bro, but it's actually, got a lot of views. So thanks for tuning in on that. But we want to kind of keep it tight. An hour and a half is kind of what our limit is. So next week, we're going to go ahead and cover the remaining divisions. So that means the Northwest, the Central. Let me see. Who else did you have? You had the Atlantic, right?
Yeah.
And then I had the Northeast. So those are the last four that we're going to go ahead and cover for next week. But what we did this week is cover the NBA trades. There was a total of 12 of them that have happened since the last show. We went ahead and covered most of them. It's actually pretty balanced. There were six on the East and six in the West. We just want to go ahead and point out the ones that really stood out. And then we went ahead and dovetailed into the Summer League. We talked a little bit about the California Classic that's happening here at Chase Center in San Francisco. Twan, we should go one of these years, go watch the games when they're here again, bro. And then also the Salt Lake Summer League that's happening as well at the same time as the California Classic. Now, next week is when the Las Vegas one, and that's the one that gets all of the eyes, right? Because that's where all the teams play. And that's where I think a lot of our players that are on our fantasy teams, they're going to be playing. And right now I have a 69-point edge over Twan right now. Namely because of Johnny Broom and VJ Edgecombe on my team, both playing for the Sixers, right? So I'm kind of Sixer heavy. And then, your guys, Ace Bailey, he actually played pretty well, man. And he's been the only guy that has played on your team so far. But he's done pretty respectably. So, but anyway, we're going to go ahead and show you kind of the standings on a weekly basis, just to kind of see. It's a fun segment. It's like five minutes,
I agree.
Right? And then the last segment is, we talked about the team and player analytics, and we essentially did the Southeast Conference of the Eastern Conference, or Southeast Division of the Eastern Conference, and then we also did the Pacific Division of the Western Conference. I hope you enjoyed that content, because it's kind of cool to see some of this analytics stuff, how players rank, overall and against other their colleagues in the NBA, and how the team, how it's constructed also has a big impact on, the team efficiency, from a net rating, offensive rating, and defensive rating standpoint. But then you can kind of see breaking down all the players and how they contribute to that team, efficiency, right? So that's why we want to kind of point this out. So anyway, we hope you enjoyed the show. This is kind of more of a numbers kind of related kind of podcast today, but we definitely bantered a little bit, and you saw me kind of get disconnected for a few minutes. Now you see these big prominent buzzer beaters. It's kind of been covering our heads, covering our content. We're gonna have Big John bring that down slightly, even though it looks good, move it up, whatever, man. It looks good. But anyway, that's our show. This is the 57th episode of Buzzer Beaters. We are here every Wednesday live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, except for next week we're going to have to record because, work got in the way again, unfortunately. But we're going to go ahead and record, and we'll probably have it ready for you guys. We'll probably do the same time, maybe same day next week, bro, probably like a little later, like maybe like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and then we'll just record it so it goes out on schedule for the next day on Thursday. But okay. We're going to go ahead and be here again next week, and then the week after that is when probably the Summer League is going to be over, and that might be the end of our podcast segments until we get to.
I'll be out on vacation that day, Eddie.
And then you're on vacation.
I'll be out on that day.
Okay, on that Wednesday.
Correct. That
20. Okay, so then we'll just record it. And we'll record the. We're not going to be live. This is our last live show, I guess, for the season. And then we're going to go ahead and record the next two for the next 2 weeks. But we really appreciate you guys listening in, and definitely give us a thumbs up if you enjoy the show. We love to get your comments when this re-airs on all of those different platforms that you can listen in on, like, you know, YouTube, Pandora, Spotify, Facebook, X, any of those that you can put a comment. Please feel free to do so. We'll get that commentary, but we're here for you so we can get your comments and your questions. So, but anyway, this is the end of our show for episode 57. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral. We're also known as the Cisco Kids. And we're going to go ahead and see you again next week, but not live. But you'll see us again re-air on your platforms, on your popular podcast platforms that you can find us. All right, everyone. Have a good rest of the week. And until then, see ya.